The Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's Monday. It is a federal holiday marking the life and the dedicated efforts, amazing efforts for peace and racial equality from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. EWTN News Nightly recently did an interview with Alveda King, Dr. Alveda King, the niece of Martin Luther King Jr. and the head of Minority Outreach for Priests for Life. Beautiful interview. I'll have a clip of that in the news. So just a reminder, today is a federal holiday. Coming up in the program, very excited to have our friend Anthony DeStefano back with us. He's done it again. Another book on Our Lady, and it's gorgeous, as is the book Our Lady's Wardrobe. This is a sequel to it, and what he's doing in this particular book is introducing children to well-known images of the Virgin Mary. Only this time he's not using her clothes as he did in Our Lady's Wardrobe, which is just drop-dead gorgeous book, as I mentioned. But what he's doing is he's making our young people, young children, familiar with the beautiful images that we have of Our Lady. For example, the image of Our Lady of Sorrows, Our Lady of Perpetual Help, Our Lady Star of the Sea, Our Lady of the Rosary, Our Lady Mother of Mercy, Our Lady Queen of Peace, and, of course, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Think about images and how much images affect us. I don't have to go into details of what we see out there on the news and how those on the other side of the issues that we care about try to use particular images to attack all people with whom we disagree just about. They're now calling for deprogramming of 75 million people who voted a particular way. That was said more than once last week in various interviews. So we know that images can be used negatively. Well, here's an example of how images can be used well to highlight something so beautiful, so perfect as our Virgin Mary, our Blessed Mother. So this book, Our Lady's Picture Book, it's being published by our friends at Sophia Press. It's technically not hitting the shelves until mid-February, but we wanted to give you a sneak peek so you can pre-order it and just take a look at it. Anthony DeStefano will be with us. He's going to be back to do more on this as we get closer to the release, because I think this will be something, the release is February 18th, I believe. I really think this will be something that will be very, very useful and helpful during Lent, especially for children. And we'll just talk to Anthony about the book and his love for Our Lady as well, which leads to him writing so many books about her. So Anthony DeStefano at 9:15, Our Lady's Picture Book, at 39 minutes past the hour, 9 o'clock on the East Coast. Jeannie Mancini, the head of the March for Life, will be joining us as promised. She said she'll be back, and she's here. They made a very important and challenging decision on Friday to do the actual march, most of it virtually. Now, they still are going to have a small amount of invited pro-life leaders who will be marching, but they decided to do the whole big march that they normally have online and to have it go virtual. So we'll talk with Jeannie about what led up to that decision and the prayer and the discernment on the part of her team, and they work so closely with the Knights of Columbus, and why they feel for this year, this is the way to go. All right, so we'll talk to Jeannie Mancini about that. Gail Buckley will wrap up a program on a Monday with our Bible verse of the week. So there is a lot to talk about this morning. And one of the things that keeps coming up, and I keep getting in prayer after listening to Father John Ricardo and interviewing all the people I did last week, Joseph Pierce, Peter Herbeck, and others, and I think it was affirmed by what the Holy Father said yesterday during his Angelus message, the importance of the way we are going to change the world. You know, Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. We change the world by telling stories. And Father John Ricardo was mentioning on Friday, and by the way, we have a link to that interview. I put it on my Facebook page over the weekend. The importance of what the early church did. They didn't have anything. They didn't have the structures. They didn't have the religious orders. Didn't have the seminaries. Didn't have the Catholic schools. Didn't have the Catholic universities. Didn't have Catholic media. They had St. Francis's donkey as in their feet, and they had they walked and they traveled, you know, very difficult roads, highways and byways, so to speak, with the Word of God, that Word made flesh, because of the experience that they had, their own personal experience, their own story of encountering Christ, and however that happened for them. And I think once we start really embracing that idea, in addition to doing what we need to do out there on the political front and the legal front, that doesn't mean that those efforts go away. I think we have to do, obviously, both. But I think we need to do more storytelling and about how Jesus has touched our lives. You'll hear the story of what the Holy Father has to say about this. But it really strikes me, after hearing a beautiful homily at the 8 o'clock Mass yesterday by our associate pastor, Father Andrew Dawson, who's a dynamic young priest, and he's a convert to the faith, and actually originally from England, from Great Britain. And he mentioned the upcoming pro-life march. He mentioned the pro-life prayers and the novena that the USCCB is doing. He mentioned Christian Unity Week, which is this week. And he said, we have to get back to telling stories. And he relayed a story that he saw online, a mom sharing the story of her two sons. The younger son has Down syndrome, and the older brother, and the pictures that she has of them together, and how they are just so head over heels in love with each other, and how they're so close to each other, these two boys. And there's a video that's gone viral. It's had a lot of views. I actually posted it on Facebook, I think last week or the week before, of the older brother. I think in this particular video, he's 9 years old, and he's singing to his little brother, who at this point in this video is a year old. Get your Kleenex, because it's incredible. But in the article, the mom talks about the two of them, the relationship they have, and the love that they have for each other, and the gift of this little boy, their son, with Down syndrome. So this is their story, and they put it out there. And we need to put our stories out there, in addition to, of course, given the number of unborn babies. If they get a Down syndrome diagnosis, if a mother gets a Down syndrome diagnosis, the numbers of Down syndrome babies in the womb that are being killed is astronomical. So you share this kind of a story, especially going into the March for Life coming up on the 29th, and this whole month where we're looking at life, and you just put it out there. And then you share your story. Why are you pro-life? What happened to you? And I really believe that stories make a huge difference and impact people in ways that we don't even know. So just something to think about. I'll be talking more about this as we get closer to these various events. All right. 7 minutes past the hour already, as you can imagine. Never a dull moment. Tons of news to report. So let's start that right now. Pope Francis saying in his Angelus yesterday that great joy is found when one offers his life in service to God's call. There are different ways, he said, of carrying out the plan that God has for each of us, which is always a plan of love. And the greatest joy for every believer is to respond to this call to offer all of himself at the service of God and his brothers and sisters. Speaking from the Library of the Vatican's Apostolic Palace, the Pope saying each time that God calls someone, it is an initiative of his love. He said at the beginning there is an encounter, or rather there is the encounter with Jesus, who speaks to us of his Father. He makes his love known to us, and then the desire to communicate it to the people we love will spontaneously arise within us too. I met love. At the end of the Angelus, the Holy Father expressing his closeness also to the people of Indonesia, a country hit by a strong earthquake on January 15th. After the recitation of the Angelus prayer on Sunday, the Holy Father also addressing the opening of the week of prayer for Christian unity. The theme is from John 15:5-9, highlighting our Lord's request that we abide in his love so that we might bear much fruit. He went on to note the week will conclude on the 25th of January. Celebration of Vespers will be in the Basilica of St. Paul's outside the walls in Rome, together with representatives of the other Christian and Christian communities in Rome, other Christian churches and communities in Rome. In a statement issued for today, the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, the head of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, Archbishop Gomez of Los Angeles, saying this year we commemorate the legacy of this great American, remembering especially that Reverend King's belief was in nonviolence and the power of love. The Archbishop said, as we witnessed in the violence in our cities last summer and the violence that broke out last week in Washington, our country has become too angry, too bitter, and too divided. In the spirit of Reverend King, he said, we must meet the forces of hate and ignorance with the power of love, learning again the wisdom of the gospel and the love to love our enemies and bless those who oppose us. And just another reminder, today is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. After years of petitioning and mounting public pressure, the House of Representatives finally approving legislation in August of 1983, and President Reagan signed it into law in November of that year. As we mentioned in an interview with EWTN News Nightly on Friday, the niece of Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., Dr. Elvita King, highlighting that her famous uncle was a man of faith who always looked for nonviolent and Bible-based solutions to the challenges of his time.
My uncle was a nonviolent man. He believed that we were one human race, Acts 17:26, of one blood. God made all people to live together on the face of the earth. And as one human race, we really could learn to live together as brothers and sisters and not perish together as fools. All of his sermons and his messages led us to understand that our answers would come from God, and that we must unite and learn to get along.
Dr. Elvita King adding that hate is too difficult a burden to bear, and then we bear each other's burdens and concerns, seeing each other as human beings, regardless of our skin color. The return of social media platform Parler could be right around the corner. CEO John Mansi telling Fox News last night he's confident that by the end of the month they'll be back up.
We're trying to get our services back up and running so at least we can access our code repositories, at least we can access our development and testing environment.
Parler CEO again, John Mansi, saying something does not add up when it comes to big tech's crackdown on the startup social media platform.
If they believe that the social media itself was a problem, you know, why do they shut off everything else too? So that, you know, development environment, they shut off you know, our ability to work and our ability to even access our own code.
Parler was pulled by its website host, Amazon Web Services, 1 week ago. Mansi says they made sweeping allegations that the platform posed a quote-unquote risk to public safety, mainly because he said the platform is becoming popular among conservatives. Both Apple and Google also removed the app from their app stores. Mansi adding the web service providers are still trying to control their content, but Parler has now registered its domain with Epic and is already planning a comeback. Security is tight in Washington. Tracy Potts explains.
Businesses are boarded up. The National Mall and its landmarks off limits to the public. The inauguration site, the U.S. Capitol, and blocks around it behind concrete barricades, metal fencing, and an unprecedented display of America's military might.
Authorities are still on high alert for possible violence ahead of the inauguration on Wednesday. The Associated Press reporting as one of his first acts in office, Joe Biden will ask Congress to offer legal status to an estimated 11 million foreigners in the country illegally. Biden will announce legislation to provide a pathway to citizenship for millions on his first day. If Congress passes the proposal, it would be the first time illegal aliens will be granted status since President Ronald Reagan bestowed amnesty on nearly 3 million people back in 1986. Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina now urging Senate Democratic leader Charles Schumer to not proceed with an impeachment trial for President Donald Trump. He's arguing it would be a gratuitous effort that could further divide the country. In a letter to Schumer, the South Carolina senator saying the impeachment power should only be used to protect the nation from harm from an incumbent president and not to vindicate political grievances after a president has left office. Trump is scheduled to leave office on January 20th, and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has said he has no plans at this point to call the Senate back to session early to begin an impeachment trial. Vice President Mike Pence discussing the Trump administration's ability to work with both parties in Congress to make the military the strongest, he said, fighting force in history, stronger still. Speaking at Fort Drum in New York, he said the administration received a hollowed-out military because of devastating budget cuts.
Our troops hadn't seen a significant pay raise in nearly a decade, and there were reports that readiness was even being impacted with a lack of equipment and supplies.
However, Pence still championing the performance of the Fort Drum's 10th Mountain Division for their devotion since the attack of 9/11. The 10th Mountain Division is the Army's most deployed unit to Afghanistan and in Iraq, also mentioning that not one American combat casualty has happened in Afghanistan since February of last year. California public health officials ordering clinics across the state to stop using a specific batch of the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine after several people suffered severe allergic reactions. Diana Canizza was one of those who ran into trouble after getting the vaccine.
Altogether, I had two epi shots, and by that time they put me into the ambulance, and they said I was ready for my third one if I needed it.
Sunday night's announcement rendering 330,000 doses distributed to 287 clinics unusable. State epidemiologist Dr. Erica Pan says the allergic reactions were limited to one community vaccination clinic, and a higher than usual number of people needed medical attention within 24 hours of receiving their shot. Officials say less than 10 people had adverse reactions, and there's no word on what their exact symptoms were. And finally, in our news segment on a Monday morning, a federal holiday honoring the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., interesting story out of Florida. A small plane forced to make an emergency landing in an unlikely but somewhat convenient place on Sunday morning. Pilot Jenna Denae says she and a student took off from a local airport and were over water in that area when the engine suddenly died. That's when she took the controls and brought the Piper Archer down safely on the beach at Treasure Island, Florida.
Glad that sand is packed down pretty well, so that made for a better landing than if it was really soft sand. So could have been worse, but could have been better.
The plane clipping a plastic pole as it rolled to a stop, but both the pilot and student walked away. Thanks be to God, without a scratch. The FAA is now investigating the very interesting emergency landing, Treasure Island, Florida. 16 minutes past the hour. Hope you're having a beautiful Monday morning on this federal holiday. When we come back, another beautiful book from our dear friend Anthony DiStefano. This is a follow-up to Our Lady's Wardrobe and another stunner of a book. You want to get on the list to order this book. Comes out in February. Wanted to give you a sneak preview. We'll have him on again as we get closer to the release, but it's so exciting, the work that Anthony is doing. And the artist is incredible as well. The book is Our Lady's Picture Book. Anthony DiStefano, up next.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living. Effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. Over the last 50 years, we've had some of the greatest popes since the Reformation era. So why are things such a mess in American Catholicism? How do we analyze and confront the attacks we're facing? How do we identify wolves in sheep's clothing? How do we re-evangelize the baptized? Dr. Ralph Martin makes sense of a church in crisis and shows pathways forward. He'll make sense of a disordered world. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and you'll find it in our online bookstore.
The EWTN home video highlight for January is A Wolf in Sheep's Clothing 2, The Gender Agenda.
For two centuries, the ideologues of socialism or communism have used deceptive word jugglery to rebrand themselves as liberals or progressives.
Order your DVD at EWTNRC.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo. If you're facing uncertainty with your current healthcare plan, now is the time to join CMF Curo. You can join any time during the year, and CMF Curo offers flexible Catholic healthcare solutions for individuals, families, and employers. CMF Curo is your personal healthcare advocate. Contact them today at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com.
It's great to speak with our dear friend, author, and speaker, Anthony DiStefano. His latest book, it's a follow-up from his best-selling Our Lady's Wardrobe, Our Lady's Picture Book. And the book isn't set to be released, as we mentioned, until mid-February, actually. I think the actual release date is the 18th of February. But because Anthony is the great guy that he is, what he'll do is if you call in and you have to have a question, no free breakfast or lunch, as you know. But what we want to do is get you to kind of, think about this and maybe ask a good question of Anthony. And he will put you on a list, and then he'll be getting an early shipment. And then the minute the books come in, he'll send you a book. So it's 877-573-7825. Anthony DiStefano. So another gorgeous book. Stunning.
Yes. Yes. That first book, Our Lady's Wardrobe, really took us all by surprise. It became such a bestseller immediately. it took off more than even my other children's books, more than The Donkey That No One Could Ride or Little Star. It just it went through the roof, and it all happened so fast, and we got so many letters and phone calls from people who said, well, they wanted more because, you know, that book introduced people, introduced children to Our Lady through some of her famous apparitions. Mm-hmm. But, of course, Mary has so many titles that aren't necessarily connected to apparitions, but that are connected to famous images and paintings and stories in history. And so they, you know, by popular demand, I had to write this book called Our Lady's Picture Book. And it has a bunch more of these different Marian titles and explains to children what they are and about Mary and mainly about what Mary's main purpose is, which is to bring us to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. So you have in here beautiful images of Our Lady of Perpetual Help, Our Lady of Loretto, Our Lady of the Assumption, Our Lady Star of the Sea, Our Lady of the Rosary, Our Lady Mother of Mercy, Our Lady Queen of Peace, and, of course, Our Lady of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. There are so many different images. There's also this, you know, when you see the litany to Our Blessed Mother, there's so many amazing images. So how many are in the book in total, Anthony? Do you remember?
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. I think nine or ten images. Plus, there are, you know, it's not just those images. There are spreads in the book that tell of the history of some of those images, you know, or that give a little bit more information. For instance, Our Lady Mother of Mercy is accompanied by a beautiful image of a child going to confession too. So what? It's not just the pictures of Our Lady in this book. There's other images as well. The idea here is that, you know, children are very familiar with the whole concept of pictures. I mean, we live mm-hmm. in a photographic age. Everyone's
right.
on their iPhone and Instagram and Facebook and Pinterest and Snapchat and all these. Kids are very familiar with this. The idea is that this is Our Lady's album, photo album, picture album, from her memories, from some of the things that have happened in her life. It's like a family album of Our Lady. And so it's an opportunity to show children these famous images and give some background. And in the process, teach them about Mary and about Jesus.
We're talking with Anthony DiStefano. It is a Monday morning. His latest book coming out in February, giving you a sneak peek, Our Lady's Picture Book from our friends at Sophia Institute Press. And already, as you can imagine, the lines are filling up. Anthony, graciously again, offering some free copies of the books. If you call in with a question, the number is 877-573-7825, and what he'll do is put you on a list. He'll be getting an early shipment, then he'll send it out to you as soon as they come in. Let's go to Patty calling from Tiffin, Ohio, and she has a question. Hey, Patty, good morning.
Hi, Anthony.
Hi.
We love your books.
Thank you.
And my daughter has special needs, and she loves your books. And my question is, in this year of St. Joseph, are you doing a book on St. Joseph, and will it be out during this year of St. Joseph?
Ooh, there you go. Got another project for you, Anthony. Great question.
It's already written, and actually it's coming out this Christmas. And the book is called Joseph's Donkey, and it's about Joseph, a donkey that Joseph had, which takes the Holy Family into Bethlehem, where Jesus is born, and then stays with the Holy Family throughout, you know, his lifetime. But it's really a book about St. Joseph. The donkey mirrors St. Joseph. He's quiet, he's strong, he's a hard worker, you know, he's a virtuous donkey. So the book is it's a way to teach children about St. Joseph through this sort of mirror image in his donkey. And it's a very sort of bittersweet, happy story. I think it'll make some people cry happy tears. And so far, people over at Sophia Institute Press are very excited by it. It's being illustrated by this very same illustrator, Juliana Kolesova, who did Our Lady's Wardrobe and Our Lady's Picture Book, and it'll be out this Christmas.
So did you plan this before the Pope announced the year of St. Joseph? So talk about
time. I did.
See that?
I did. Yes.
Wow.
I have this foresight, yes. Well, I mean, I wrote this book on Mary, and it was so popular. And a lot of people said to me, well, what about a book on St. Joseph? And there aren't that many books on St. Joseph,
yeah.
as you know. He didn't say anything, you know. He's the silent saint. So I figured, you know, we'll have a good book on St. Joseph out for this Christmas, and we'll have this book on Our Lady out for this this Easter, Lenten Easter. And hopefully the Holy Family will be happy in heaven.
There you go. Okay, let's take one quick question before we take a break, and we have other callers. We have a minute. Let me just ask Judy's question for her, Judy from Ohio. And I think you already explained this, but briefly as we head into the first break, how does this complement previous books regarding Our Lady, Anthony?
Well, this book is different in that, again, it doesn't talk about the apparition so much as it talks about some famous images from Our Lady in history. And the other thing that's different about this is it's a really like a little prayer book. Because every single image is accompanied by a prayer that has to do with the image. We can talk more about that when we come back.
Great, and we'll be right back. More with Anthony DiStefano, his latest book, Our Lady's Picture Book, which is coming out in February. 877-573-7825. We have Maria in Texas and Christine in Indiana. Other calls coming in as well. We'll be right back on a Monday morning.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
Not everyone who's attracted to the Lord and to a life of service is necessarily meant to be a priest. So there's all kinds of forms. I mean, from, let's say, the Brotherhood, if you want to stay within a formal religious context, but then all kinds of ministries within a parish, all kinds of lay ministries that you can do. So not everyone's called to the priesthood. A priest is someone who is dedicated, devoted to ongoing study and ongoing prayer. To be a spiritual father. As Pope Benedict said, one of his wisest remarks, he said, people want many things from a priest, but what they want above all is someone who's a master of the spiritual life. Hey, I'm great at this ministry, and hey, I'm great at organizing this meeting, and hey, I'm great. Fine, but ultimately what the people want is you're a master of the spiritual life. You got to be, therefore, trained in prayer and theology and spirituality and so on.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
When we say, Thy will be done as it is in heaven, what are we asking of our Father? The Catholic Catechism explains that God desires for all men to be saved and to come to know the truth. He does not wish anyone to perish. In His Son, Jesus Christ, and through His human will of the Father has been perfectly fulfilled once for all. The Lord made this clear on entering public ministry. I have come to do Your will, O God. Only Jesus can say, I always do what is pleasing to Him, even unto death, as He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but yours be done. Thus we ask our Father to unite our will to His Son's in order to fulfill the Father's will. By prayer, we can discern God's will and receive the endurance to carry it out. Jesus taught that one enters the kingdom of God not by speaking only words, but by doing the will of his Father in heaven. I'm Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Tons of phone calls coming in. We'll try to get to as many as possible with our friend Anthony DiStefano on his latest beautiful book from Sophia Press, Our Lady's Picture Book, 877-573-7825. I think this is a great educational tool. You and I were talking, Anthony, about apologetics and explaining the Catholic faith to people, because we're often accused of worshiping images or worshiping statues, and there's a misunderstanding about that. So is this a tool that can also be used to help our Protestant brothers and sisters understand why we have sacramentals in the Catholic Church?
I think it can be, yes, because, you know, some of our Protestant brothers and sisters, not all of them, but some of them still think that when Catholics have stained glass windows or statues or paintings, that we're violating, you know, the first commandment about, you know,
craven images,
you know, having craven images and worshiping, you know, and they think it's idolatry. And when something, a book like this will show them that, look, we're not worshiping these images. These are like photos from a family album. They're like photos on your iPhone. You know, they're you look at a family album to refresh your memory, to inspire you, to give you good feelings about people in the past. You know, you're not worshiping those. Also, you know, there's a very profound, something even deeper than that having to do with images, and that's the fact that in the Old Testament, it was looked on more cautiously The people didn't even, the Jews didn't even speak the name of God because God was invisible and he was so awesome and above everything. But God himself, God the Father, gave us his image in Jesus Christ. When he became a human in the form of Jesus, he gave us his image. Jesus is the image of the Father. So things have changed a little bit since in the New Testament because we now have a real person that God became in Jesus. So if you could have gone back 2,000 years, you know, with your iPhone, it wouldn't have been wrong to snap a picture of Jesus. Mm-hmm. So again, the Protestants sometimes misunderstand both of Catholics and the theology of this.
Well, I think sometimes we Catholics can't explain it well as you just did, and so that could be a part of the problem. I think we have to familiarize ourselves with the verses that refer to the proper use of images. In the Old Testament, in Numbers, for example, remember when Moses made the bronze serpent and put it on a pole for people to look at? And there's two references in 1 Kings about the temple being engraved and how it was supposed to be built. And then also, one of the stories I love in the Old Testament is 2 Kings and the contact with Elijah's bones. So there's several verses that talk about the proper use of images as opposed, and this is not worship. When we look at images and we're maybe sitting before a statue and we're praying, we're not praying to that statue. We're praying to God and we're reminded of, you know, St. Joseph or Our Lady and the work that they did here on earth and still do for us in heaven. Okay, let's go back to the phones. We have, tons of calls. Maria calling from Texas has a question on line 3. Hey, Maria, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead. What's your question for Anthony?
My question was, is the book for a certain age group, or would it be okay for a 10 going on 11-year-old boy?
Absolutely. I think the book would be appropriate for preschoolers as well as those who are going into junior high school. I mean, because I think they're, like all my children's books, I hope that this is layered with meaning. On the surface, you know, there are very, very beautiful pictures here that younger children will like. At the same time, there's some very deep teaching here that teenagers can appreciate. You know, I mean, there's a picture of the Battle of Lepanto here and Our Lady of the Rosary and how that ties into, you know, our praying to Our Lady of the Rosary to help us with our own struggles in life, for instance. So there are a lot of real-life applications for preteens and teens. So I think this book really has a wide range of ages of children that can appreciate it. And if you put it together with Our Lady's Wardrobe, then you have a fairly comprehensive introduction to Our Lady for children.
Thanks so much for your call. We're speaking with author Anthony DiStefano. His latest book, beautifully done, the illustrations are just drop-dead gorgeous, Our Lady's Picture Book. And it's all about looking at Our Lady in the various roles of salvation history that she plays. Of course, her titles of honor, including Our Lady of Sorrows, Our Lady Star of the Sea, Our Lady of the Rosary, and so many more. And again, getting back to our questions, we have quite a few. Let's go over to St. Louis. Betty is calling from St. Louis, Missouri on line 7. Hi, Betty. What's your question for Anthony this morning?
Good morning. My question is, the last book was written in rhyme. Is this one also?
It is. It is indeed. Both books are rhyme. It's part of sort of an overall plan I have for a rhyming catechism. So
okay.
Most of my children's books are in rhyme. Some of them are not. Some of them are in prose. But this one is in rhyme. Why? Because children find it more memorable. You can remember the verses more. And sometimes rhymes stay with you for decades and decades. So I'm planting seeds here. I'm trying to plant seeds here about Our Lady that will stay and eventually grow and bear fruit. And rhyming is
Thank
a good
you.
Way to do that.
Thanks, Betty. Appreciate the phone call. Make sure you stay on so we can get your information. Anthony is going to be getting an early shipment of the books and those calling in this morning. Even if we don't get to your question, probably won't get to all the questions because of a number of folks still waiting. But if you're on the phone right now, he will get you a book. He's getting an early shipment, so very generous again. Anthony, in terms of your relationship with the Blessed Mother, when did you find yourself really getting close to her where you just needed to do these books to tell people about how much she loves us and is constantly pointing us to Christ?
Well, Teresa, you know, I've been close to Our Lady even before I even was a committed Catholic. I mean, I was brought up a Catholic, but even when I was a child, for some reason, I just had an attraction to devotion and Our Lady. to Our Lady. And even when I was going through some years where I was a little agnostic and wasn't going to church, I always had a very tender spot for Our Lady. I don't know why. It's just always been there. And I made a Marian consecration, in my 20s. And I've written books over the years for all Christians, all travel guides
right,
to heaven, temperate.
Right.
They're meant for all Christians because we're living in an age where we Christians have to stick together. But for some reason in the last few years, maybe it's because the world is just going so crazy and, people are so upset about so many things and everything is so polarized. It's just so obvious to me that Mary has the key. We need more people devoted to Mary because that will lead to a closer union with her son, Jesus Christ. Devotion to Mary always leads to closer union with Christ. Jesus came to the world through Mary, and that's the way he continues to come to her today through Mary. So I just felt the need to do as much as I could, especially for children and introducing children to Our Lady, because I know the amount of good that it will do.
Yeah, and I think it's a great tool for everyone. I think it's a great apologetic school, even for adults. Oftentimes, it's the children who are recatechizing adults, and I think many adult Catholics, if they get this, maybe we've got folks listening who want to give it to maybe their son or daughter for their own grandchildren, and once those people read the book and start recognizing maybe these images from their childhood, things will come back to them, and they'll understand more deeply who the Blessed Mother is and why she is so important in our lives. And I always think that it's so important to re-embrace these images that we have, to understand how often Our Lady has come to us over the centuries, but how often she is there for us in various images to help us. I think this is great.
Yes, and so many people don't, so many Catholics don't understand why Our Lady has so many titles, and this book hopefully will explain why.
Anthony, we're going to have you back on, hopefully, when the book comes out. But thank you so much for your generosity and for your great work. And also this artist, please congratulate her. Very talented. Our Lady's Picture Book, soon to be released from our friends at Sophia Institute Press. And for those of you online, please hang on so we can get all of your information to get you a copy of the book. We'll be right back on a Monday morning. Stay tuned.
Call to Communion.
Through EWTN Radio, we talk to audiences all over the world. One thing I've found out is everybody in the whole world has the same set of questions. They live the same human life. They all want meaning. They all want love. They all want significance. They want forgiveness. That's the most fascinating thing to me. The same answers work wherever you are throughout the world because we're all children of God.
Called to Communion with Dr. David Anders. This afternoon, 2 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
Do you ever just feel off, but you don't know why? Maybe everything seems fine, but you just feel down or disconnected. Well, you're in luck, because I've got just the thing to help you get your mood back on track. A new study by Texas A&M found that making small changes, like reminding yourself to smile more, can actually have a significant impact on your overall mood. Researchers caution that they don't mean to suggest that a person can smile their way to happiness, especially if someone is dealing with serious emotional problems. But they say the study is important because it highlights just how much our emotions take their cue from things like body posture or facial expressions. So go ahead. Give yourself permission to smile. It might be just what the doctor ordered. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. By asking for spiritual communion, we are acknowledging that the Holy Mass is the perfect, best way to worship God. The priest intercedes perfectly for us with God the Father because he acts in persona Christi. This is the time to see that through the priest's representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, we are never separated from our Lord. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
39 minutes past the hour. Very blessed to have Jeannie Mancini for the March for Life with us, and known Jeannie for years. She worked side by side, the one, the only, Father John Ricardo, and putting on amazing conferences and retreats in the Archdiocese of Detroit, then moving down to Washington first at the Family Research Council, and then moving over to run the March for Life. And she does a beautiful job of that. And Jeannie, I know the decision to go virtual, for the most part, because there's still going to be a small march of pro-life leaders, was not an easy decision or one that was taken lightly. I know you. I know the kind of person of prayer you are. So first of all, tell us, it must have been extremely difficult and challenging. Tell us the process you went through in deciding how the march will be run differently this year. And thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Teresa. I always love to talk to you, and I just have such a special spot in my heart for all of our friends in Michigan that we worked so closely with many, many years ago. So anyways, this has definitely been a really very difficult decision. Something that comes to my mind, I was at church on Saturday night, and that the beautiful psalm over the weekend was, "Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will."
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think of that Proverbs passage, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding." And probably those two things speak to this past week more than anything. But let me say this. So I am part of the board of the March for Life, and thanks be to God, I do not have the responsibility of this huge event and organization on my own shoulders. I do carry a special responsibility, but we have such an active and seriously amazing board, a bunch of prayer warriors and culture warriors and what have you. And they, you know, so it was a collective discernment process this past week. I will say that if you had asked me a week before we made the announcement if that was a possibility that the march would look different this year, because I want to clarify, the march is not canceled. The march is not canceled. It is different this year, and there are so many good things that are happening with that. But if you had asked me a week before if that was a possibility, I would have said no, no. And we were doing everything in our power to legally protect our constitutional privileges to march. But anybody who lives outside of D.C. right now has seen some things shift over the past few weeks. And, you know, Teresa, it's kind of hard to put into words what it's like in D.C. I went in twice last week, and D.C. is like a developing country right now, mm-hmm. in the sense mm-hmm. of armed guards everywhere. I sat in the office of the March for Life, and there were dozens and dozens of National Guard right across from our office, you know, armed National Guard. Pouring in and out of a hotel into buses with huge, you know, packs of guns and things like that. And then around the Capitol, we were over there taping for some things for a virtual Rose dinner, just seeing, you know, the fences everywhere, the street closures. I mean, literally, D.C. it's like a war zone right now with no war going on. There is a culture war going on. So it is not a safe place for marchers. It's not safe. And so, again, this decision wasn't made lightly, and it really made with the whole board. And I think to the best of our ability, we've tried to discern what God wants in this.
So let's talk about how this is going to be run differently. What can we expect to see? How will it work, Jeannie?
So for starters, we've got all sorts of activities like we typically do the day before the March for Life. So anyone who's ever wondered how to have more of an impact in terms of advocacy, specifically on the Hill or with their state legislators, I highly encourage you to check out our Capitol Hill 101. It's going to be shown three times the day before the march on January 28th. It's free. This is like an hour long. It's going to be at 9 a.m. noon, and then I believe the next one is 7 p.m. So all sorts of opportunities to watch that. So you've got legislators, staffers, et cetera, showing how you can make an impact virtually or in person with your legislators. And then on the day of the march, there are a few things that will happen. At noon, like this always happens, we will have the March for Life rally. What's different about it this year is that it will be online.
Okay.
There will not be a rally with a stage or anything like that. This is all going to be pre-recorded and ready to go, and then it will play. No one will see it. It will play right at noon on the 29th, and we still have an amazing lineup of speakers for that, so that will be very exciting. And then around 1 p.m. on January 29th, a very teeny tiny little march will happen, because this is the 48th annual March for Life, and we have to march. I mean, we have to march this year, but the way that that will happen will be very different. Different leaders reflective of, you know, a culture of life around the United States will be marching and very protected. We're hoping to be able to do some things like to lay some roses on the steps of the Supreme Court, et cetera. I expect it will be very somber, a very prayerful march.
So do you have, I know you said a very, very small number. Do you have an idea, a couple of hundred, maybe 100? I mean, just to kind of give us an idea of what of who will be there. Have any, and can you share any of the names?
No, I won't be able to share any of the names right now. Maybe in another week I can do that.
Okay.
But a small treat, the numbers that you just named are about the number that it
okay.
will be. So we'd like to keep it on the very, very small side. So we're still trying to figure that out, working with our police jurisdictions about what's the safest and, you know, how we can do this.
I would imagine in terms of the march itself, it would have been much smaller to begin with. Last year, there were, I know we never put an official number on it, but it was massive, several hundred thousand, I'm thinking, just from what I could see in the various years that I've covered it. And it would have been much smaller to begin with because of COVID concerns, dioceses, parishes, not, you know, pro-life groups not sending buses down. So I think if any year you had to do it differently because you're still having a small march, this would be the year to do it.
Right. Right. We absolutely anticipated that it would be a much smaller march. There's no question, but we didn't anticipate all sorts of other things happening over the last few weeks. Or just Teresa, just the spirit of what's happening in our culture in terms of the divisiveness and sort of polarization and so much violence, et cetera. I mean, you know, our march is a march for obviously protection of human life and protection of human dignity and respect and all of these things. And we're the opposite of any kind of violence. In fact, that's the only thing that we don't allow at the March for Life, really, is anyone who wants to, quote unquote, protect life by violence, because that doesn't even make sense, right?
Right.
It's like the most violent place in America is in the mother's womb right now. And violence begets violence and all of this. And so we're really seeing that in our culture. And so, you know, prudentially, this seems like the best way to promote a culture of life this year.
My concern from a media perspective was one person could get in there and cause some little thing to happen. And the way the media are labeling pro-lifers, conservatives, all with the same very broad brush, 48 years of amazing work started by Nellie Gray could be impacted so negatively in overnight. I mean, we saw what happened and how people are being, all conservatives now are being, even on CNN, Don Lemon said that anyone who supported Donald Trump is supporting neo-Nazism, racism, I mean, without any empirical evidence to back it up, just making these statements, doing stories this morning on Parler, having to rewrite everything the secular media is putting out there because they're calling it, they're seeing it also with the same thing and the same types of people that we know are not representative of the majority of people who are conservative. So my concern would be that one little thing, and you know what, Jeannie, here would have been my prediction in the media, and you know me. You've known me for a long time in my background. They would show up like they've never showed up before just to look for something that might happen. I'm just saying that was my concern. So I think it's a wise decision. I'm sad that we can't have the march the way we normally do, but I think it's the right thing to do. That's just my personal opinion. But what's been the reaction so far from people?
You know, mostly very positive. There's been certainly a lot of pushback, but they're mostly very positive. I think some of our younger marchers who, listen, they're like our heart, our younger marches, you know, marchers. You think of the wonderful line that St. John Paul II had that young people are the best ambassadors for life. Mm-hmm. I've seen that they're the most disappointed by this. I think, you know, some of their parents are relieved, but so as an effort, to be able to talk to some of the young marchers, I'm just so grateful. Students for Life invited me on to do a Facebook Live to talk a little bit about this afternoon, and Live Action invited me on to do an Instagram Live with Lila this afternoon. It's because a lot of the younger marchers really turned to some of those organizations. So I'm so grateful to work with my pro-life leaders to be able to talk to the young marchers and to hear them out and to understand their disappointment and try to explain a little bit more of where we were coming from.
And you had already decided prior to the march going viral mostly to do the virtual road, the Rose Dinner virtually, correct?
That's right. We sort of didn't have a choice in that one because with D.C. COVID restrictions, you can't have more than like 10 people in a room together.
Yeah, it would have been a very small March for Life dinner, a Rose dinner. Yay!
Yeah.
10 people clapping.
It was a lot of work for 10 people. So so we had decided to take that one virtual a number of months ago. That, too, was a hard decision. I never thought we'd do that, but obviously that was the right decision. But by the way, it's going to be powerful. I mean, and gosh, aren't we all sort of tired of these virtual events? There's really fatigue over them. But having been involved in some of this, I just got to interview Tim Tebow last week.
Aww.
And Carl Anderson is receiving an award, the Screenwriter of the Night for Columbus, and he's going to give it. Like, he's going to knock it out of the park with his remarks. I mean, he's preparing remarks. They're so good. So basically, it's still, I think, going to be a really fantastic and inspiring Rose dinner.
Well, of course, EWTN will be covering it as well. I think we'll have more news on that later this week and next week. Jeannie, thanks so much for all your hard work and your prayer that went into this, and we're going to pray. This is huge. And in some ways, I think it could even be bigger. I mean, if you look at last year, the massive amounts of people was so encouraging. But the fact that you can go with this really worldwide and virtual is really cool, too. So we will move on and march on. And again, for more information on all the beautiful events that are happening, the virtual Rose Dinner and the other events, check out the website, marchforlife.org. And hopefully, Jeannie, we can grab you again maybe for a follow-up to talk a little bit more about encouraging people to go online and follow all the details.
Oh, I'd love that. Thank you, Teresa.
All right, Jeannie, thanks. Have a great week. And we'll be right back with our Scripture Verse of the Week with Gail Buckley.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams. Contemplate the universe with me.
There is a time for everything under heaven.
As moral agents, we exist in a universe that allows us to move in three space and one time dimensions called space-time. The paradox in which God has placed us allows us complete freedom of movement through the space dimensions, but we are constrained to move in only one direction through time. That irony of freedom and constraint forces upon us the natural law of causation. For every moral action we take in space, a moral consequence is delivered in time. In space, we can go forward or backward. But why, oh why, can't we go back in time and fix things? We really have no idea, but God knows, and one day you will too. At AveMariaRadio.net, under Resources, explore the universe with me. I'm Dr. Stan Williams.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
I want to get right to our Scripture Verse of the Week. Gail Buckley, Catholic Scripture Study International, also featured in my new book, Listening for God. What are we praying about, and what verse do we have this week, girlfriend? Tell me.
Okay, it's 2 Corinthians 4:8, and it says, "In every way we're troubled, but not crushed, frustrated, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed." And, of course, we've been talking about this. I know last week you were, and we're talking about the fact that what we're facing with this new administration. And I know many people are feeling very troubled and frustrated and persecuted and struck down right now. But as our verse says, we're not crushed. And so all these things. So just a few verses prior to that, Teresa, it says that Satan is the god of this age, and that he's blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's exactly what we're up against. We're up against unbelievers whose eyes have been blinded by Satan. These are people who celebrate abortion, who want to defund the police, take away our religious freedom, and turn our country into a socialist nation, and they're blind. So we have to remind ourselves they're also his children. God's children who have
absolutely
been led astray, and pray for them and be a light to them by showing the fruits of the Spirit. You know, a lot of times that draws people. Unfortunately, like we said, they're blind. So we don't give up hope either. And Scripture tells us over and over to fear not, not to doubt, and not to give up, but to persevere. That's over and over in Scripture. So
So things look really bad now, and we've all experienced failures in our life and times when we felt like there was all hope was lost, but we've gotten through it.
You know, it's so interesting you say that, because I was talking at the top of the hour of our national program this morning, and also in my first hour of Catholic Connection, about the importance of being a light to others.
Yeah.
And I received an email, one woman so passionate about the life issues and a little bit frustrated about what's going on. She goes, why can't we get all these lawmakers and force them to actually watch an abortion? And I said, sweetie, I highly don't think that's possible to force people to do that. Besides, think of all the people who supported abortion in the industry who knew exactly what was going on. For example, the
exactly.
many doctors, whether it's Nathanson or Leventina or others who performed abortion after abortion, but something had to happen to them that they were witness to in order for mm-hmm. them to turn around. So my point is being really to share those stories and to be a light to those who are blinded. For whatever
Absolutely.
Reason. You know, many of us have been there. I had no idea what was yeah. going on, really, with abortion, and I was pro-choice for a long time, even though I knew so little. So the importance of being a light and not despairing and losing hope. Thanks, Gail. Really appreciate
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
All right. And
We need to be a light in this darkness now.
Amen.
And don't give up hope.
Yes. And
That's
what's the website for Catholic Scripture Study before we let you go?
CSSProgram.net or SaintBenedictPress.com.
All right. Thank you, my dear. Gail Buckley with
Thank
Catholic
you.
Scripture Study International. She has a phenomenal witness in my latest book from Sophia Press, Listening for God, Discovering the Incredible Ways God Speaks to Us. Enjoy the rest of this federal holiday and be peaceful and loving. And as Dr. Alveda King always says about her uncle, that he responded to division and hate with love and not violence. Let's remember that and pray for all of those we love and even those who persecute us. That's what we're called to do. Talk to you tomorrow on a Tuesday.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.